This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Ron Hainsey organizing, finds Morgan Riley in the left wing corner. Long pass ahead, tipped ahead by Johnsson. Brought on now by Tavares in front for Marner. Scores! The magician is out! What a nifty little move to the forehand! And he makes it 4-2.
4-2, en route to a 5-3 victory for the Leafs over the New York Rangers. Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert with you, and shortly be joined by Jimmy Ralph to sum this up. But this was a much-needed win. Having said that, I think you saw the good and the bad of the Leafs, albeit in a positive result.
Yeah, it weren't pretty. Let's put it that way. They're finding ways to win. They let we talked about it quickly in the second intermission, but they let the Rangers back into it. They had a 4-minute power play where they could really start putting the nails in the coffin and have that killer instinct, and they had nothing, no push or nothing. I think they had 4 shots, and really maybe one was a dangerous opportunity. So, it was going to be interesting. We knew going into the third period, tied 1-1, what it was going to be like, but they found a way. I mean, they outskilled the Rangers. Rangers made mistakes, and Leafs finally started to make them pay for it.
We'll get the answer to this shortly, but according to the NHL score sheet, Marner had 2 goals, not 3. They give the 2-1 goal to Johnsson, but we'll see if they change that. That's the play where Johnsson was sort of pushed into the goaltender, and maybe they ruled the puck hit him on the way in. I don't know.
Yeah, quite possibly. He hit his arm or something on the way in, but I still think Marner got it. But
same here.
Anyway, it is what it is. If he didn't, then they're throwing hats for nothing again tonight.
So. Well. It's a regular thing.
I wonder if they can get him back.
Having said that, I mean, I guess the cat and mouse, the way the scoreboard went, where the Leafs had the commanding lead at 3-1, and then it suddenly became 3-2, and even when it was 4-2, it became 4-3. That type of stuff you don't like to see as a coach, do you?
No, it's not. That's when you want to start burying teams and really put it to them, and don't give them an opportunity. Don't give them a sense of hope that they can get back into the game, and that's exactly what the Leafs did. They got a little sloppy in the defensive zone. Sure enough, it's 3-2, and it was actually almost 3-3, the backdoor play that they missed the net. It could have been 3-3 for the Rangers, and Leafs got a little lucky, but they outskilled them. Their skill took over, found a way to win. Freddie Anderson was Freddie Anderson. I mean, he made some big saves, no question. But the lack of finish by the Rangers with the opportunities they had and the proficiency that the Leafs have in finishing won them the hockey game.
The Rangers were trying as they pushed the defensemen back. They got in real tight. They would go around them and behind the net.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
It was. They were trying to push off. Well, that's what you want to do on attacks, is try to push the opposition's defenseman as far back into the zone as possible. And what you're trying to do is, if the puck does go down low, you want to beat them to it, and you want to be able to retrieve those loose pucks. And B is, if you have defensemen jumping into the play, all of a sudden there's a big gap between the back checkers, the defenseman being pushed off in the offensive zone, and that's where you use those backdoor plays. Morgan Riley, classic example. The defensemen push back. Johnsson carries it up, hits Riley going down the backside. But Rangers did the same thing. They had some opportunities, just weren't able to finish.
A quick sort of analysis, plus minus. What is the plus in terms of what you saw tonight?
Oh, well, the plus is that they're going to find ways to win. I mean, that's just the way it is. The plus also is Freddie Anderson was pretty steady in there, pretty calm, even though he gave up 3 goals. But the minus is, when you're going to be playing good teams in crunch time, especially down the stretch where people are trying to get into the playoffs and even going into the postseason,
yep,
you can't let people off the hook. You've got them on the mat. You've got to keep them down there, and you got to make sure they're KO'd. Letting them up off the mat again, keep them in the game, dangerous things can happen. And like I said, it was 3-2 after Rangers scored that goal to make it 3-2, and they came right back and just missed another opportunity to tie it up. And,
yep,
this is where the Leafs have to learn how to have that killer instinct. And Mike Babcock talks about the machine. It wasn't a machine tonight. It was a more skilled team that beat a team that's struggling. And that's my synopsis of what happened.
And going back to early in the second period where they had a double minor, a power play for that, against the 25th PK in the league, they didn't muster much of anything. In fact, they gave their energy to the Rangers.
They did. They had no urgency. They had no, again, killer instinct. You're not going to bury teams, then bad things could happen.
Going to step out and catch up on a break that we missed earlier. Jim Ralph will be with us next. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN 1050. TSN.ca. Poor Ralphie. TSN and the iHeartRadio apps. TSN 1150 Hamilton and the Leafs Radio Network.
This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Pionic to the near side. Hayes holds. Back to the blue line again. Stolen by the Leafs. Marner pushes it ahead. He won't be caught. He's got an empty net and scores! The hat trick for Mitch Marner! And this time, the hats are coming out for real!
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
Nope.
5-3. The Leafs went over the Rangers, so they gave Marner's first goal to Johnsson. If you recall, the play was driven into the net, and the puck must have hit him on the way across the goal line. Ralphie is here. The postgame roundtable brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Believe in a Subaru, your local Ontario dealer, with a $500 holiday bonus. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Boy, that's two games in a row?
Yeah.
The false hat trick.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's too bad. At least the players knew the first time. I'm not so sure. Although I wouldn't put it past Mitch Marner to go and tell the officials that went off our guy. I'll take the assist. I think he takes as much pride in setting goals up as he does scoring them. But it's kind of unfortunate that ends up just one short of a hat trick, although the goal streak continues. And a good response from the Leafs in a game where they weren't very good for 40 minutes. And the only other two games, or the two games that come to mind, the game against the Red Wings here at home, down 4-1 into the third period. They weren't very good, weren't very engaged through 40 minutes. Score 3, even though they lose it in overtime, there was a pushback in the third period. The game at home, or the game in Florida against the Panthers, they were down 2-0 after 40 minutes. Again, not a lot going on. They tie it 2-2, they go down a goal, tie it 3-3, lose in overtime. But again, there was a response, there was a push. And even though in this game the Leafs never trailed, it felt like going into the third period that they had to show something. They had to sort of atone for a lackluster 40 minutes to start, especially, Gibby, as you mentioned, the double minor power play, the four-minute power play, which had nothing going. But there was. And there was a pushback, and you saw a little more jump in the third period. So I thought with the negative of 40 minutes, there was a lot of positive with the way they finished, and it's something they've been able to prove they can do of late.
Well, and that's the part that they're going to have to overcome, because they could have taken Rangers right out of it on that power play. But even whenever they went up 3-1 in the third period, Rangers came back. They tie it up 3-2 on Hayes' goal. And then right after that, Rangers are back in the zone. They went backside. And if you had to hit the net, it's 3-3. And you're kind of going, one of these guys going to understand you got to bury people when you have the opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think from here on in, obviously it's going to be addressed by Mike Babcock and the coaching staff after the game, but these guys are going to have to see that, you know, before you came on, Ralphie, Jimmy and I were saying that, going down the stretch when you got all these desperate teams trying to get into the postseason, there's going to be a lot more intensity. And if you're not going to put teams like that away, you're asking for trouble.
It's called playoff hockey.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's where the intensity is ramped up. Well, I think very pre-playoff hockey, but I think with playoff intensity.
Well, the other team's playing with some desperation, what you're saying, right?
Yeah. It sort of becomes a catch-22 where you say you're happy you can come back, but you can't rely on, atoning for missed opportunities early on. And like you said, you've got to put them away. And I think what I'm very concerned about, and I know the Leafs have a great opportunity over the next month and a half, whether it's to gain ground on Tampa, whether it's to stay ahead of Buffalo, Montreal, or Boston, but 14 out of 19 games at home. And Gibby, from playing and even coaching, there gets to a point where it's too much.
Yeah.
And we've seen other teams have 6-7 game homestands, and you see, I don't want to say complacency, but and I don't want to call it boredom, but you become a little stale.
Stale, yeah.
On home ice. I mean, I think the perfect schedule is 3 at home, 3 on the road. If you could go through 82 games like that, you'd be fine. So I look at this as a great opportunity, but things certainly change in February when they've got a long stretch on the road. I think we're on our longest road trip that I can remember, which is 13 days. 6 games in 13 days away from Toronto. So, you hope they can build on that. And as you say, Gibby, learn to put teams away rather than a half team. Although, having said that, they put Jersey away, they put Florida away eventually. So maybe it's a little blip in the schedule. And give the Rangers credit for pushing back.
Ennis goes out with an ankle injury. Do you recall the play?
No. No, and now I asked Joe this because I looked four times because I don't want to bring this up to Joe and have him jump on me, right? I said, where's Henrik Lundqvist? Lundqvist was not on the bench the entire game for the New York Rangers.
Probably having a nap.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Playing tomorrow. Well, they got Philly at home tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
maybe when.
I don't know.
Either that or maybe he's got enough clout. He said, look, I'm going to see you play. You know, text me. Text me if you need me. I just found it bizarre that I kept looking down and going. Because we were talking about him. You know, even though the kid played two nights ago against Anaheim and won, there was still that feeling that Lundqvist was going to be in goal for the Rangers tonight. And when he was, I was talking about him and looked, you know, across the ice of the bench, and he was not there.
Merry Christmas, Ralph. We're going to go downstairs.
You too, Jimmer.
You buddy.
Eight.
You play hockey?
Yeah.
Are you any good?
Yeah.
What position?
Left defense.
Might be able to use you, man. Well, and he was coming on, right? You know, his year didn't go as good as he wanted last year, and he was starting to come, so it's unfortunate. It's, as we all know, it's all part of hockey, and you got to have a lot of depth to have success. So, you know, we'll take a look at what's going on there, talk to Sheldon, and maybe we'll call someone up.
Mitch, what's changed in him? He was on six goals for a while, and he was
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's always, every night he's one of our best players, if not our best player, and works real hard, is real good defensively, does it right. And in the end, if you do it right, you get rewarded, and so he's been rewarded. Well, Riley's a good player. Plays every night, lots of enthusiasm. Both guys got tons of energy and never get tired, and that helps you in a league that you play a lot.
Like the structure, or did you feel like it got away at times?
Well, it got away at times. I liked their first period. See you guys.
That is Coach Babcock after the 5-3 win.
That was short and sweet.
Well, what's there to be said? There's another game tomorrow night. It's not like they're going to fine-tune anything tomorrow.
No, good point. But, yeah, no, he's... Like he said, oh, yeah, they had some issues tonight. There's no question about it. So, like I said, they're going to address it after the game, the coaching staff and Babs. And whether they bring him in tomorrow morning, which I doubt they will, they'll probably just bring him in prior to the game, go through their regular routine preparing, and try to fix things for tomorrow.
Well, so the Ennis situation, we're told it's a broken ankle.
Really?
I couldn't hear off the top what Coach was saying because we were saying goodbye to Ralphie, but it's a broken ankle, and so that's a significant a period of time. We were talking about the high ankle sprain. Well, there's the broken ankle, so we'll track Hyman and Ennis and see who comes back first.
Well, it's going to be severity on the high ankle sprain, but yeah, that's terrible. I maybe cursed him when I brought him up when we were talking to Kevin McGrann before the game there because he was playing well, and I didn't see it happen.
I didn't either. In fact, when we got back after the second intermission, Kristen Schulten had mentioned that he was out and didn't know why. And then they announced that he wouldn't be back. And now they announced in the press box it was an ankle injury, but now it's a broken ankle. So
maybe it was a shot. Because I didn't see him go down anywhere. I saw him maybe he blocked a shot. And that's what it's a chip out of the ankle bone.
Either way, it's busted. So that's a recall.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
So who do you, we're talking about this while listening to Coach Babcock. You think the recall is Moore?
I'm thinking it's Trevor Moore. Yeah. They gave him an opportunity to come up and practice with him a few weeks back, maybe a month back, and then they sent him back down. But I think he's and you know what? That could change also because Mike Babcock's going to talk to Sheldon Keefe like he had mentioned, and he's going to figure out who's playing the best down there, who deserves it, and that's how they're building this organization. It's based on merit. If it's not just your name, and you've had some good spurts here and there, it's whoever's playing well at the time and is your top forward that can fit into that slot. So I'm thinking just because of previous call-ups, it would be Trevor Moore, but if he's not playing well right now, it could be anybody.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's two guys, two serviceable and important wingers to the team in different roles that go out in the span of a week. And then there's the Nylander situation where he's basically easing himself back in. But the team really needs him to step that up. I don't know how you force that, but they need him to be ready, and he's not quite there yet.
He's not. And, You know, there was a couple shifts tonight where he got stuck out there and he was sucking wind, and you know, he wasn't even moving. He was pretty much just leaning on his stick, trying to catch his breath. And you know, when the air gets thin, the body shuts down, and that's what he looked like in a few shifts. So I don't know how much he did when he wasn't here, waiting for this this contract dispute to get corrected and fixed and over and done with. But obviously, you know, we're 2 weeks into it now, so it's 3 weeks almost into it. So it's he's got a ways to go.
You know, just on a logistics standpoint, the timing of the return, first week of December is when the league basically shifts to another gear,
right?
And you're stuck in neutral. I mean, that's not just missing training camp. That's missing training camp in the first 2 months. You are way behind.
Yeah, and there's no comparison. And you know, even though people think that exhibition games aren't that important, they are very important to players that have trained all summer, come into camp, gone through their camp scrimmages and their testing, and they get into these preseason games. It's about timing. It's about getting your lungs, your legs going, your brain going all at the same time. And you build through training camp to get into the regular season and you know, hit the ground running on all cylinders. And he missed all that. So
yeah.
And again, it comes back to how much did he prepare for the end day or the end game whenever he was signed and he came back. And you know, you can question the organization. Maybe they should have just kept him off for a week and a half and bagged the daylights out of him every day to get his you know, his stamina and his conditioning back, or as close to back as possible before playing him. Instead, they put him in, and he's I don't want to say he's struggling. It's just he's not getting anything accomplished.
Well, and I would assume that the science department does all this and understands, you know, has tested all his levels and assumed that or made the decision that he's ready to go. But I think I would agree with you. If you look at his shift time, the average is 50 seconds, which to me is probably maybe 15 seconds too long.
I agree 100%, Jim. And coming off of what he's coming off of and the conditioning that he's in, that's way overextending your shift. You should start shorter and start to build your way up rather than, you know, your 50, 55 second shifts, and then think you're going to go down to 35. So he's got it something backwards.
Well, and with two wingers out now, I mean, he is needed. So, I mean, I guess the break-in period should be over, but it's not.
It's not. He's going to be struggling if he's going to be stepping into either of those situations to be able to log more ice. And you know what? It could come down to him just shortening his shifts. Would give him better wind and stamina, but it, like I said, it's a discipline thing. As soon as you feel your legs start to burn a little bit, and a lot of times you don't even have to wait for that, you should know with 35, 40 seconds, you're boom. First opportunity, I'm going to get off and get my wind and get ready to go back on. But you know, once you start sucking wind and then you keep overextending your shifts and you're going back to the bench, you're not going to catch much wind.
Well, the other thing I would be afraid of would be, you know, if you're overextended like that, you want to be careful that you don't get an injury.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, especially if you're in close to the walls or working the corners. I mean, you're, like I said, when the air gets thin up there, your body starts to quit too, and you can put yourself in some pretty bad situations where you can, A, get run, get hurt with your head down, and when you're tired, you're not ready for the hit, boom, there goes your shoulder, there goes something else, and hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't think it will. But, you know, he's got to start pushing himself harder.
Well, in this situation, albeit two games in a row at home, but they played tomorrow night, so his recovery time is pretty slim.
Well, he ain't going to get in better shape overnight, let's put it that way. So it'll be interesting to see how he does tomorrow.
5-3, the Leafs win over the New York Rangers. We'll be back for the TSN Turning Point next. This is Leafs Game Night live from Scotiabank Arena. TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leafs Radio Network.
Ron Hainsey organizing, finds Morgan Rielly in the left wing corner. Long pass ahead, tipped ahead by Johnsson. Brought on now by Tavares in front for Marner. Scores! The magician is out! What a nifty little move to the forehand! And he makes it 4-2.
That is the TSN Turning Point, brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. And that was a great set of hands there, great patience, outwaiting the goaltender, tucking it in as he goes in basically all alone. It was thought at the time it was his second goal of the game, but actually it was his first, because we have the updated stat sheet in front of us, and Johnsson gets the first so-called Marner goal, so they give it to him. Marner has two on the night. And here's Mitch Marner postgame talking about his near hat trick.
Yeah, I mean, I knew the first one. At least I thought it hit off Johnny. Told him right away. He said he had no idea. But from my angle, it looked like it hit him right away. So, I mean, it was really no shock.
Again, with the hats. Again, with the hats getting thrown to the ice without a hat trick there.
Yeah. That's two games in a row. I mean, people are losing hats for no reason here. So it's it's pretty funny. I feel pretty bad for them. I mean, I'm sure if they're Leaf hats, I'm guessing they're not cheap. I mean, everything around here is pretty expensive. So those poor people.
How about your own game here? You seem to have hit a stride at this particular moment. Like Morgan was just saying, you were stuck on six goals for a while, and now you doubled that in no time.
I mean, I think I'm thinking more of shooting. I'm getting to the net more. And I mean, when you get around that net, I think chances come more often. So that's just something I've been trying to focus on recently. And I think also, I mean, Hyman and JT, and now Johnny and JT, both of them, all three of those guys can move the puck very well. It's, for me, it's just getting around that net, like I said, now and trying to bang in those second opportunities.
Pretty impressive vision from John on the goal that just set you up to see it sort of over his back shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was coming to me there regardless. I knew he was going to find a way, so that's something he likes to do a lot in practice. So when he got that opportunity, I knew exactly what he was going to do, and it was a great play by him and obviously a great play by Mango too.
If your confidence was high with all the assists that you're piling up, Mitch, where is it now that you're putting the puck in the net as often as you are?
I mean, I think it's the same, maybe a little bit higher, but like I said, it's just something you just want to keep going with. It's something that, for me, it's just making sure I'm around that net more, getting those second opportunities, and if the pass is there, then make it, but if not, then, you know, try and get it on net to, you know, let one of the other guys bang it in and see what happens from there.
One more game before the break, would be like to go finish strong going into Christmas?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a hard back-to-back. Detroit's a good team. We got to make sure we come ready to play them. We got to make sure we come ready with speed and staying above them all night.
Why do you think Morgan's so reluctant to talk about the crazy offensive season he's having all the points to
go? He's a humble guy, so it's no surprise there. But, I mean, I was talking about him earlier this morning. It's his confidence level's at an all-time high, and that's great for us forwards. When he's jumping in the rush, you know, it's usually a 4-on-2 or 4-on-3, and if he gets that puck, he's deadly right now, finding guys and shooting it. So I think either way, you know, it makes the other team really think about trying to cover him more than I think a forward at the moment. And I mean, it leaves someone open, and that's when I think one of us got to make sure we're putting it in, or like I said, getting around that net for second opportunities.
That is Mitch Marner postgame. So he had 2 goals and an assist, 3 points. Janssen had a goal and 2 assists, 3 points. Tavares had 2 assists. So that's an 8-point line.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much carried them tonight. Austin Matthews' line was, it was in and out. They had some good shifts. I mean, Marlowe did score the first goal of the game, but they had some good shifts, but really nothing consistent. Stay, like, you know, staying power, so to speak. They were off and on, so I'd like to see that line get a little better and a little more consistent. But, yeah, Tavares' line carried them through the tough times tonight.
We were talking about the offensive play, at least Mitch Marner was, of Morgan Rielly. Morgan Riley's night, he's 1-1 for 2, played 22-40, and here's what he offered up postgame.
Morgan, what did you like about his team effort tonight?
Yeah, I think there's lots of good things. I mean, you're in a hockey game all the way up, you know, to the end there, so I thought we stuck with it, played well, played our system. Thought the penalty kill was good. You know, all-around good win.
Put a pass there from Janssen.
Yeah, good play. You know, D, I've been wanting to be a bit more active and, you know, up in the rush, and I think, you know, that was just a good play by him, good vision, and, you know, turned out to be an important play, so that's why you know, stick with things.
You guys seem to stick with it, as you said, just until the third period, you knew the offense was going to come, mm-hmm. And just kept going, right?
Yeah, we felt good all game. You know, we talked about it between periods about, you know, being ready to play and making sure that we're aware of what's going on in terms of the score and the situation. And, you know, I think there's times where it's, you know, getting away from us a little bit. We maybe took our foot off the gas, and I thought we came out in the third and played well. And, you know, that ended up being a big difference maker.
Now you have a chance to finish strong one more game before the
break. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, big one tomorrow. You know, one more before the break. We want to make sure that we have a good effort. And, you know, we're going to have a long time to sit with it, so it's important that we make it a good one. And so we're looking forward to getting back at it and then, you know, taking some time off.
The D jumping up in the rush, has that been more of a focal point this year as opposed to, say, last season?
You know, it's, I mean, it's just something that you talk about a little bit, you know, something that you can improve on, you know, as a group. And, you know, We talk about it all the time. We do it in practice. We do drills to, you know, help encourage it. And, I mean, you got to be able to pick your spots. But, you know, when you're able to do it well, it's obviously very valuable.
Mike said a few times that it looks like you're back in Moose Jaw again, the way you're playing. You're getting it.
It's a little different, but I know what it means. It's just about being comfortable, and I mean, we got a good group, and I think that we're all very comfortable. I think that, you know, we know the system. We're happy with our teammates. We all get along. It's just a good situation. I think when that happens, players tend to just kind of be themselves and, you know, play a bit looser and a bit more confident, and I think that's a good thing.
Mitch, that's when you thought that maybe your confidence was higher now than you'd ever seen it. Does it feel that way to you as well?
I don't know. You just want to stick with things. I don't think you want your teammates saying that, because I think that means it's getting away from you. But, you know, I think it's important that we all just continue to work. I think we have a good thing going. And, you know, there's guys that are playing outstanding, Mitch being one of them. So, I mean, it's important that we keep doing what's, you know, been making us successful, and we build off it. And, I mean, there's always room to improve. There's always things that we can do better. And, you know, there's little things that we have to improve on still that are going to help us on stretch.
What comes to mind for you, though, when you glance at your own point totals right now?
Not a lot.
Do you think Mitch is shooting well?
Yeah, as you should. I mean, he's a great player. Me and Ron smile at each other. It feels like just a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we only had 6 goals, and now he's at 12. So, you know, he's obviously got something going on. You know, I mean, you talk about confidence. He's a player that, you know, really thrives when he has confidence, and he plays very well, and his line mates love playing with him. You know, as a D-man, you want to be on the ice when he's out there just because his vision and, you know, what he's able to do with the puck. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, works very hard for everything he gets. And, you know, you look at him, the way he's playing, you know, the way he drives that line. You know, he's been one of the best players in the world now for, you know, a few months, and it's been quite impressive.
That is Morgan Rielly postgame. So if you walked up to him and said, looks like you're a Moose Jaw, you might be saying, well, you look like you're playing junior hockey. I mean, you have to take that the right way.
Yeah, you do. Obviously, he was just talking about the confidence level that he's playing at. I mean, that's why he was drafted so high. That's why he was the player that the Leafs wanted, and you know, he's looking like that. He's made that jump to the National Hockey League, and he's making the game look so easy, like he did in junior. And that's therein lies the comparison.
And really, he's got longevity written all over him, doesn't he?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he doesn't. He's so smart. He doesn't put himself in dangerous situations. You know, to get run over, as Austin Matthews does sometimes. He puts himself in a position where he's vulnerable, and he takes the hit. You know, the Trouba hit going to the net. You know, separates the shoulder, and you know, Morgan Rielly just doesn't do that. And Austin Matthews is getting better at it, but you have to learn how to protect yourself at all times, and he's very good at that.
Network operators, the outtime tonight is 10:35. When we come back, we'll hear from Freddie Anderson. Leafs win 5-3. This is Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Hainsey trying to keep it in. He just does. Gauthier sends it further into the corner, and Janssen curls up. Now to Rielly. Shooting, scores! Holy mackerel, what a shot! Morgan Rielly set up by Janssen, and the Leafs have a two-goal lead.
And at that point, it looked like the game was going to tip in the Leafs' direction and never to go back to the Rangers. However, just slightly more than a minute later, the Rangers cut that lead to 3-2. I just want to pass along our thoughts to Rick Jeanneret, as we hope he's okay. He was taken out of the Buffalo game tonight while on the air, a medical condition, and so he was taken to a hospital to have somebody look at him, and we hope that he comes out of this okay.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. It's you know, what can you say? You just hope that he's fine, everything's checking out. Maybe he's just run down, you know, with the schedule that goes on, the travel these guys go through. I mean, Bones and Ralphie do the same thing, and you know, they're on planes, off of planes, into rinks, into hotels, and it takes its toll over time. So hopefully that's the situation, and everything's going to be all right.
The other bit of news is Jonas Siegel tweeted out that Trevor Moore scored his 17th goal for the Marlies today, so I think you're bang on with the recall there.
Yeah, I think that's probably the situation that'll happen. I mean, we talked about that he had been called up before, never got the opportunity to play, but you know, he's ready to go. Obviously, he's hitting in all cylinders by the sound of it, offensively, and he's a hard-working kid, so it might be a great opportunity for him.
And all that comes about because of the broken ankle for Tyler Innes, and of course Zach Hyman out with a high ankle sprain, and so the Leafs just got through a period where they were minus people, and were finally at full strength, and the injury bug comes back.
Yeah, and but you know what? They've touch wood. They've gotten a good stretch here without a whole lot of injuries outside of Matthews, you know, going out with the shoulder. But you know, hopefully these guys will get back. They'll stay healthy for the remainder of the year, because going into the postseason, everybody's got to be healthy. You can't have those nicks and bumps and guys sitting out, especially the first round, and they're going to need everybody. So hopefully they'll heal up quick and get back on the ice and get back to normal.
Freddie Anderson tonight stopped 25 of 28, and here's what he offered up postgame.
A lot of confidence in your hockey club, regardless of how good the Rangers played here tonight, knowing that if you could keep them in long enough that they're going to get it done in that third period.
Yeah, I thought we had some really good periods and some time not so good, but I think in the end we had a really good third and we came out and took it over. I think we dominated that whole period. They got a couple goals late, but yeah, overall I think we were really good in the third.
Do you feel like maybe some of those breakdowns happened that allowed the Rangers to stick around?
They're pretty tenacious, I think, when they had their good periods. And I don't know if it was us not breaking out as clean or just them hunting down the and making it hard on us, making our time and space that more difficult and that. But I don't know. We'll take a look at that. But yeah, overall happy about the win.
If you get some time off the next couple of days, talk about the last three games and the fact that your team kept the shots down to a large degree.
Yeah, I mean, I think we played some good hockey lately, and it's great to see when we play in their end, we can wear them down, and it gets really tough for them to really create stuff offensively. I think when they spend their energy in their zone, it's gonna be hard for them to get the puck in our zone when they finally get it out. And instead of going on offense, they'll be wanting to change, and I think that's the key to one of our game plans, and I think we did that good tonight.
Must be encouraging to see all those goals go in the last three games too.
Yeah, of course, it's something that goes back and forth, but I mean, when we score more, it gives us a better chance.
Kind of funny to see hats come on the ice twice in two games now.
Yeah, another fake hattie for Mitch, so hopefully we can get it done at some point, but I think he's happy about scoring goals, and he's having fun, so yeah, maybe one day.
You know, the week's not over yet. There's another game tomorrow night here against Detroit, but I think you would look certainly at the three games this week and say this was the week of offensive support.
Oh, for sure, and the great thing is, for the most part, is it's been spread around. You know, you got Tyler Ennis potting in some, you got Janssen scoring, and, you know, you go right through that list. You know, Nazem Kadri was back off this night, had a great opportunity again tonight, missed the empty net, and a heck of a move to create that situation. Yeah. But unfortunately, it didn't go in. But that's what you want to see, is everybody contributing. When you have that balance on your organization and on your team, it's just another threat that the opposition has to worry about night in and night out.
That Kadri opportunity was so good, the red light went on for about a split second.
Yeah, and how he missed it, I don't know. I mean, yeah. You could have put it in. Well, let's not
maybe
go that
not.
Far. But
no,
anyway,
no, that's insulting. That's
yeah, I know. I would have missed. Well, I would have dumped it in and got the cycle started.
I would have
anyway.
Symbol fingers. I would have missed the puck entirely. What do I do with it?
I'll tell you, it was a heck of a move that created it, because the defenseman slid trying to take away a pass. He just sidestepped him, and the goalie bit hard, and Georgiev bit real hard, and it was a 4x6, and I to this minute don't know how he didn't put it in.
It was fascinating to watch. You know, we went through this before about the double minor, so the double power play for the Leafs, and how the energy absolutely went to the other side, because the Leafs, where they have two shots on goal, they just didn't do anything to break them down, and all of a sudden the Rangers got their tires pumped and fed off that energy for quite some time, and you know, the opportunity was there that if you score a goal or two there, the game's over. Didn't happen, and the Rangers just hung around, didn't they?
Well, and that's what they did, and they got a new breath of fresh air and new life, because they didn't get burned on the 4 minutes. So, you know, once you give a team that kind of momentum back, you hand it to them on a plate. They're going to go, okay, we're still in this. We got away with one, or two, actually. We got away with it. Let's start going here. Let's wake up. And sure enough, you know, for the most part, I thought Rangers, you know, took the second period after that big penalty kill. to the Leafs, and they had their opportunities, just couldn't finish. But you've got to take teams out of it whenever you can. You got to be ruthless and you got to bury them when you have the opportunity.
Well, and I think you said it at the time, or in the press box, they played it like they were on a 5-minute major, and like they were sort of building up to a goal at some point, and that's not how you do that.
No, you've got to go at it hard. I mean, you got to figure that the urgency that the penalty killers, the four penalty killers, are playing with, it, they know they have to kill off 4 minutes. They're going to be busting their backside every shift, every second out there. And if you're not going to outwork them, you're not going to have many opportunities. And you're absolutely right, Jim. They played it like, okay, well, we got 4 minutes to get one. Well, you know what? With that attitude and that lack of urgency and execution and killer instinct, you're not going to be able to score. And you're leaving a team there sitting going, oh, okay, we're still going to chomp at the bit. Let's take it to them, though.
And even as they're coming out of their own zone, It was slow. I was going to say lackadaisical. Yeah. There was no drive there.
No, it was lethargic. The passes were off. There was nobody attacking with speed. They kept using that friggin' drop pass that I can't stand. But anyway, that's their breakout.
It's one of my favorites.
But and then they had to dump it in, and nobody was there to retrieve because they had no speed coming into the zone.
No chemistry.
So there was. It seemed exactly that from the other night against Florida, where they were zipping it around, scored three power play goals, to tonight was night and day.
That's one of the biggest mysteries of all time, is why power plays click with efficiency and then go cold.
Well, yeah, but it's work. It's all preparation. It's not thinking that things are going to come easy. Whenever you have success, it's you have to remember how you had the success. And the power play the other night against Florida was outworking the penalty killers. I mean, they were all over them. They were getting the retrievals. They were winning the one-on-one puck battles. They were moving. They weren't stationary. The puck was moving. The bodies were moving. Everything was falling into place. And then you look at it tonight, and they weren't winning the battles. They weren't retrieving pucks. They weren't attacking with speed. They weren't moving. They hardly had an opportunity to get into the zone to start to move the puck around and the body. So it's maturity. It's inexperience. It's youth. Whenever you think that things are just going to happen because they happened before.
So the Rangers, a bit of an uphill climb. They dropped to 15-14-5. They have won exactly 3 games in their last 12 now.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a battle. Here's the Rangers head coach, David Quinn.
David, I'm sure you liked a lot of what happened in the first two periods and then came the third. Was that more on you, or was it on what they were able to do to maybe ramp it up?
Well, they're so opportunistic, and unfortunately, you know, it's a good hockey game, and third starts okay, and we blow a faceoff coverage, and it goes in the back of the net, and, you know, the third one's just a turnover inside our blue line. We make a change that we probably shouldn't have made, and we just don't react the way we should have in that situation. But I love the fact that we battled back and didn't quit. And like you said, there are a lot of good things out of tonight, but there's certainly things that we need to improve on and can learn from.
Are those mistakes that against most teams maybe don't hurt you, but because of, like you said, how opportune they are, that makes that much of a difference? It's magnified?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they've got the talent to take advantage of those types of mistakes. And the faceoff goal, we haven't had anything resembling that all year long. And unfortunately, tonight we make that type of mistake, and it ends up in the back of our net. But, you know, we kept playing. We didn't give up and competed and had some chances 6-on-5 to tie it, and unfortunately just weren't able to do it.
A big part of the game before the third was the 4-minute penalty kill. What stood out to you about what you guys did, and how much of a boost did it give you?
Well, it gave us a lot of energy. I mean, Lindy's done a great job with our penalty kill over the last few games. Obviously, the big kill we had at the end of the last game we played, and tonight killing those 4 minutes, you're holding your breath against that power play. But we made some good adjustments, and, you know, our guys really competed and ice pucks when they needed to, and, you know, made it difficult for them.
Those early goals in the first and third, where you guys start the period strong and then all of a sudden it's in the back of your net. We're not talking, though, about, you know, how you didn't battle back from that. I mean, you've got to at least be pleased with the response.
Yeah, there were a lot of good things tonight. But like I said, you know, you can't make those types of mistakes. You know, face-off blown coverage, which we haven't had all year, and, you know, the bad change and, you know, not reacting to a turnover 5 feet inside of blue line, which costs us a third. But, you know, we make it 3-2, and then they make it 4-2 on a, you know, odd man rush, which we didn't give as many as, you know, against that type of team. You can't be giving up odd man rushes. But again, we make it 4-3 and then had chances to tie it. So a lot of good tonight. We've just got to keep building on it and moving forward.
That is David Quinn, head coach of the New York Rangers. Leafs win 5-3 over the Rangers. The giveaway chart, 9 for the Rangers, 14 for the Leafs. Did you see it that way?
Yeah, I did, actually. I mean, that one shift, I hate to say it, but Jake Gardner had 3 on his own, right inside the zone. One in the corner, one across the middle, actually, to start it was picked off. And then one in the corner, and then one up the strong side wall. And all 3 times, the puck remained inside the Leafs' defensive zone. And that was the third period. So,
yeah,
it does not surprise me.
5-3 is the final score. Final segment coming up next. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca. The TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leafs Radio Network.
Played out at center and down into the Rangers zone. And the final seconds will tick down as the Toronto Maple Leafs continue their streak here. As they've gone 9-2-2 in their last 13 games, they limit the New York Rangers to 28 shots on goal and will beat the Rangers by a score of 5-3 here tonight.
Well, there's your audio summary of what happened tonight at the Scotiabank Arena. The Leafs now sit at 24-10-2. Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. It'd be great if they can pick up another 2 points tomorrow. You know, get out of this break here with 52 points. Yeah, 50 tonight, right? And then 2 more tomorrow against Detroit.
Yep.
52 before Christmas. And, boy, that's a heck of a record.
Well, Detroit's not unlike the Rangers, Panthers, or Devils. They might be a little faster, but in terms of scoring touch, they can be challenged that way. And bottom line is, much like those other teams I mentioned, if you get a couple of quick ones in the first period, the rally might not be in the Red Wings, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And I don't believe that Detroit play tonight?
They did. They lost 2-1 to the Panthers.
That's right, too. We mentioned that. So, you know, they're coming in, even though it was an afternoon game, a little more rest, but not they played at home, so not too big of a travel day for them or travel night for them to get into Toronto. So they may be a little more rested than the Leafs, but it'll be interesting to see because they're coming in to play in the same place. They took 2 points out of here. The Leafs battled back to get one, but they're going to try to do the same thing.
Let's go through the out-of-town scoreboard, and I think the first 6 games were all afternoon specials at this time of the year. Boston 5-2 over Nashville in Boston, and Bergeron is back, got a pair of goals.
Yeah, I mean, their top line got 4 of the 5 goals. Marchand got 1, Bergeron 2, and Pasternak 1. I mean, that's the line. If you can shut that down against that team, granted they got some other pretty good players, but those guys are scoring probably 60 to 65% of the goals.
So if you were in a playoff series against Boston, how would you handle that line? What would you do to it?
Well, you'd have to shut it down. The best way to do it is to wear them down. If you're in a playoff series right from shift 1 of game 1, you have to have people out there that are going to play hard and heavy against them and play mean against them and wear them down. Not turn away from hits. When you have the opportunity to finish them, finish them. Hitting is accumulative. So the more times you hit somebody, the more tired they get over the course of time in a series. So come game 3, come game 4, those hits that you started pounding on them in game 1 are going to start to take effect.
You're trying to win in 7, not 4 straight.
Absolutely. And sometimes you will, obviously, if you're a hard-nosed team and you wear another opposition team and you're highly skilled and you put them to bed quickly, let's put it that way. But if it's a long series, the ones that are the freshest are the ones that usually win.
Columbus 4-3 over Philadelphia. Florida goes into Detroit, wins 2-1. St. Louis wins 3-1 in Calgary. Montreal goes to overtime, gets by the Golden Knights 4-3. L.A. 3-2 in overtime over the Sharks. Tonight, Buffalo 3-0 over Anaheim, long since done. Other action, Washington 4-0 over Ottawa. Pittsburgh 3-0 over Carolina. A lot of shutouts.
Yeah.
Arizona 6-4 over Colorado. And Dallas leading Minnesota 1-0 in the third. And in the first, Edmonton 1-0 over Tampa. What caught your ear in all of that?
Really nothing, obviously. Pittsburgh, I think they're starting to win some more hockey games. That's the second loss in a row, I believe, for Colorado. So, they're having their troubles also. Not that they're going into a big slide, but I think that's their second in a row. And they're a heck of a hockey club, but reality sets in over the course of a long season, and you're going to have your fair share of losing streaks.
So I guess you come out of this with, as I said earlier, this was the week of offensive support, but this was the week of 2 ankle injuries. Zach Hyman goes up with a high ankle sprain on, an accidental play, and Tyler Innes, we don't know exactly how it happened, but broke his ankle tonight. So these guys are out. The broken ankle's got to be 5-6 easy.
It's probably 4 to 6 or 4 to 5 weeks that I would think for that situation. I'm just interested to see how it happened, because I really didn't see him fall down and limp off. Maybe he blocked the shot, like I said. Maybe that's what it was, took a chip out of his ankle. But it happens. I mean, it's a fast game. Things happen. The slew foot on Zach Hyman's a different situation, where he just got caught, obviously, with the slew foot, which is a match penalty, actually, in the game. So it happens, and you have to deal with it. And every team in this league goes through injuries. I mean, if you were to talk to Boston, if you were to talk to actually the Rangers, you know, they got some guys, key players that are out right now for them. You know, you got Fast out. You got who's the other young lad that they had out there? That's a heck of a player. They've got they got three key guys that are out with injuries. They got Shattenkirk and the McLeod and Jesper Fast. And you know, every team goes through it, so at least you're going to have to deal with it now.
Just looking at Innes' playing time, in the first period played 3:11, and in the second played only two shifts in a couple of minutes. And I was just looking at, because that double power play would have cut into his ice time, so those 2 minutes could have been later on. So
yeah.
I don't know exactly when he went out, but we were told as the third period started, ankle injury gone.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate, but you got to deal with it. Battle through it and get ready to go when you're healthy.
Well, as they say, opportunity for somebody who gets recalled and maybe some more ice time for William Nylander.
Oh, absolutely. It's and he needs it, but he doesn't need it if he's going to overextend the shifts, because it's counterproductive. He's got to keep him short and hard, build that stamina, build that speed, build that, everything's got to start to fall into place sooner or later. And the sooner, obviously, better for him, because his body language is not where it needs to be.
Well, and he's got to realize it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but if you gradually work into something, maybe in a couple of weeks you're there.
Right, and the only thing that he can control is pushing himself harder every day, whether it's practice, whether it's a game. But, he can't start to pace himself, because that's just going to prolong the process.
Leafs win at 5-3 over the Rangers. Gimme, Merry Christmas, Happy
Merry
New
Christmas
Year.
Merry Christmas to you too, James.
And to all our listeners, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you all. We'll be back with Leafs hockey. And January 7th is our next game, so we have a bit of time off. Thanks for joining us. Good night to TSN 1015 Toronto and the Leafs Radio Network.